It's been blamed for a myriad of things by the whole department heads in the city.
I don't agree with that. I think the charter is a very good document. I think that the charter provides certain balances that are necessary. I'm not saying the charter cannot be improved, but I, for one, would be the last to say that the charter should be wiped out. A lot of things could be done with this charter. A lot of things, with a little imagination and initiative, can be done within the confines or constructions provided by that charter.
The setup of the retirement board is mandated by that charter.
Yeah.
We talked early on in the interview about the responsibilities of the director and the board, and the two different bodies, the two separate purposes. But given the circumstances today, when that charter was drawn up, it was drawn up under the prevailing work ethic that we were talking about before. Things have changed a great deal over that time. Should there perhaps be an amendment to the charter based on what we're facing now in the governing of this system?
As I say, that's been suggested. I have no particular objection to that. I think that you might find objection among the employee members or the employees themselves with regard to that. However, I there's something that prevails even beyond this, and I think that notwithstanding who you have on the board, the quality and character of the decisions relate directly to the integrity of the individuals involved. I think this is the more important factor. But from the standpoint of weighing evidences, there's no question that people who are skilled at that will probably do a better job in being able to ferret out the truths of the matter and have sufficient expertise to weigh those evidences, both pro and con, and come out with a conclusion that's equitable to the employee as well as the taxpayer.
I think it's possible that given such a restructure, let's say a body of attorneys or other types of people skilled in the investigation, that the incidence of pleas of disability might go down. We were talking before about how in the old days a police officer would be afraid to go off because he'd be afraid to face his buddies. He'd take a needling from that. Might, under this kind of a system, might a police officer, fireman, whoever, might he be more reticent to go in and face a tough grilling given that kind of a board?
I'm not so sure that it would reduce the incidence of claims nor the applications to the board. It might, the number of cases granted might be reduced, but I don't feel that the fact that they'd have a special hearing board would deter them from applying. And the reason I say that is that information that I've received from my counterparts in other areas of the country who have attempted such a thing indicate that the incidence does not drop, that the number of cases granted drops, because the board might be more skilled at reviewing evidence. but it doesn't appear to be a deterrent to the individual to make his claim. And I think that, again, you have to come back to the work ethic, and that is because he feels nothing ventured, nothing gained. If I don't appear, I don't have a chance. If I appear, I might have a chance. Irrespective of his attitude, whether he's honest or dishonest, whatever.
Is there an increasing incidence over recent years of men who are retiring claiming disability? And what are the advantages if they can claim a disability upon retirement after their given number of years?
Well, in our system, assuming a person is eligible for service retirement, if he applies for disability, the only advantages to be gained, everything being equal, he's not going to get any difference in money per month in his retirement allowance. But should he die after having been granted disability retirement, his wife gets a 100% continuance of his pension, as opposed to a 75% continuance if he retires on a service disability. Then there is one other factor that the staff makes no claim to, but they make a claim to, and that is tax exemption. One time we asked, or several times we've asked the Internal Revenue Department to rule on this, and they failed to rule on it. And they claim that they will treat each case individually. However, we've been told by many police officers and firemen as well that if they get a disability pension, that they will have a tax-exempt allowance. So this is the big advantage to them. Everything else is equal, except for the three-quarters continuance of the widow and the 100% continuance of the widow.
So it's tax-exempt allowance. In other words, they'll get the money tax-free.
They'll get the money tax-free.
That's pretty big.
That's real big, yeah.
So, it would behoove a man who is retiring to try to retire on disability. Does it happen often?
Yes, very often. We have a very high number of individuals who apply for disability for those two factors indicated previously. Most people retiring, policemen and firemen, are already eligible for retirement. So they're entitled to their pension. They put their time in, etc. But then because of the 100% continuance of the widow and because of their claim to tax exemption, they'll go for a disability rather than the service pension.
Is there a guarantee if a man put in 25 or 30 years on the part of the board to be more liberal?
Honestly, I think I'd have to say yes. Because I think that the attitude that prevails on the part of the board is that it's really not costing the city that much money. We're talking, as far as the city's concerned, the difference between a three-quarters pension and a 100% pension continuance to the widow. Their actual pension allowance per month is the same. So there more than probably is a little more sympathy in that area on the part of the board.
Their biggest benefit is going to be coming from the federal government.
That's right.